Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. I thought I'd say a few words about the quality of Sangha, a group of people, group of practitioners. It's like a family, as is the principle. So in monastic life, then when you take dependence on a teacher, then you're advised to relate to that person like your father, and then your teacher relates to you like you were their son. All the terms of address in the Thai forest tradition, senior people are father or grandfather or brother. And also the use of the childhood nicknames, actually, that you get called by a childhood nickname when you get quite senior. Very playful, affectionate, sign of affection. So they're living a celibate life, there can be no lack of affection. And similarly within the lay community, they're keeping the precepts and there'd be no lack of affection between laity and monastic or whatever. And as in a family, then we're out to look after each other, and we're able to look out for each other and make sure that we're alright. So we cover the basic requisites for each other. Actually we don't have any obligation to go further than that. We're just looking out and make sure that we got enough to eat, shelter, medicine, just that much. The obligation goes no further than that in material terms, in the spiritual community, just getting by, helping each other just to get by. If it's going further than that, then we can be leading each other astray, can't we? Can't we? Also, we can make material gifts as an act of kindness. So there's nothing wrong with that. Now it might lack wisdom if it's over the top. But essentially, this is a family that we're entering into, an extended family. And often, in Western culture, we won't have this sense of an extended family. It's much stronger in Asia, where the village becomes your extended family. In rural Thailand, it has close relatives and more distant ones. All the kids band together and look after each other, you know, in a natural way, and the older ones looking after the younger ones. So this can be a very beautiful and lovely feeling. Enter into this, if we can really enter into this. Not something that's expensive. If you're just covering each other's basic needs, material terms. Keeps things in perspective. And then within this family then, there are two qualities pointed out in Thailand that make this work. One is called Samwagi, and this means kind of teamwork or team spirit or something like that. And really it's the willingness to help out when it's really necessary. So we have to be quite careful here that we help our, that we only call on the Sambhogi of the group when it's really necessary, otherwise we can be abusing each other. If we've damaged the Sambhogi. It's the thing that we have to look after in the group, look after the Sambhogi. So if something's needed, then if we don't leap forward either, then we're also damaging the Sambhogi, sense of the group, sense of group spirit, spirit of the group. If people aren't willing to jump in and help when it's really needed. Now of course we can have different opinions about what's really needed and what isn't, which is where we come back to just covering the barest requisites with each other, so that this doesn't get, this we don't get pulled into satisfying each other's desires or feeding each other's desires. So trying to be kind and killing each other with kindness. And the other quality is Samagi is the first, and then the other one is Gamlang Jai, which is the other thing that we want to look after. So this means, this is more simple, this just means encouragement. A good monastery or good spiritual community, you can say, has got these two qualities. It's got Sambhogi, it's got team spirit, people are willing to help out and pitch in when it's really necessary, and it's got Gamlang Jai, it's got encouragement, people encourage each other, they're positive about each other, they look for the good things in each other, try and encourage them rather than it looking for their faults. So be careful with our problem solving minds, so we don't become overly critical of each other. And all the time there's an attitude of the family. So of course with different people we become closer to each other and we consider, you know, this person's like my uncle, or this person's like my brother, or this person is a kind of distant cousin to me. And people will address each other in Thailand according to how they're feeling, with where they feel the relationship is at. So as a monk, if they get a kind of brotherly feeling with you, then they'll call you Long Pi. Or a fatherly feeling, they call you Long Po. Grandfatherly feeling, then they call you Long Poo. It's all to do with the feeling of it. So, you know, a young person comes to the monastery, a very young person, you know, child would call me Long Po, because they relate to me like a father. An older person comes to the monastery and they'd call me Long Pi, because they relate to me like a brother. So it's not like a title, it's a way of saying how we're feeling about the relationship we've got with each other. Whether we call you Long Pi, Long Poo, Long Po, these things. So Long Po Samedo, he became the first monk in England to get the term Long Po, and everyone thought it was a title. Ajahn Samedo has become Long Po Samedo. And he was the only Long Po. People didn't explain this very much. I think that was a shame, really, to explain that this means father. And it's a term of affection, not a term of office or status. Lumpur Smedo had these as well. He'd been given titles in Thailand, ecclesiastical titles. Chao Kun, like a bishop or something like that. So in the formal setting, so as well, you know, each group will have formal situations, formal meetings. We're addressing each other in a more formal way, according to, you know, giving, you know, people can have titles, more formal titles, Ajahn or Long Po or whatever. You can have a more, Long Po is not, I've been saying Long Po is not a formal title, as Ajahn or something or other, which is a recognition of their place in the community. But then there are these other terms of affection. These two things, respect and affection, are the qualities that we hope will be generated through all this over time. Both of these things. If there's not both of those things, then we need to work at it. If you have respect for somebody but not affection, then we need to work at it. Or if you have affection but not respect, then we maybe need to work at it. Or what can we have affection for in this person? What can we have respect for? Look for what we can respect in them. Look for what we can have affection for, soft spot for. And yet also accepting that there'll be some people that we draw close to and some people that we don't, and that's all right. Our obligation is to cover the basic requisites of the group as a whole. They'll do it for us, we'll do it for them, we keep each other going. As long as people are within the precepts, then they're part of this group. They win themselves the membership of this group. And then they become part of the family. So, offer this for your reflection.